Today, on this second week of Advent, we are celebrating peace, the peace child, the Prince of Peace, our Savior born so many years ago. We come to remember that it is Him who brings us peace. But I will admit, on this second day of Advent, I feel very little peace. I am overwhelmed by the number of things that have to get done between now and December 25th. Anybody else feel that way? A little overwhelmed? I'm exhausted by the trials of this past year. And I'm tired. I'm tired of my aching body and the worries and fears that I have. I don't feel much peace on this Peace Sunday. But that's the invitation to us this morning. I think Charles Leslie, a great theologian from many years ago, says it well in the song he wrote, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." He captures the longing in our heart to know God and to know God's peace. And he captures the truth in that only God can give us the peace that we want. I would invite you to listen to the words of this song with me and hear how God is making himself present in it. It says, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." Jesus indeed is the joy of every longing heart. And as Wesley has so aptly described, we are waiting and longing for that peace that only Christ can bring, to be released from our sins and fears, and to find our rest in Him. Christ is the only place we will find true peace in this world. Freedom from our fears, our worries, our busyness. Freedom from our sins, those things that hold us back and dirty our hearts and minds. Christ is the only one who can give us peace. So today, as we gather on this second Sunday of Advent, we gather to prepare ourselves to receive this gift of peace, to receive the gift of the baby Christ, born for us, to give us rest from the things that weary us. And when we do, when we make room in our heart for the baby Jesus, we can more fully experience this Christmas season. And we learn to embody that peace that He has come to give us. But it's a hard thing to do, isn't it? I think all of us want to feel peace in our hearts. But it's elusive, always running away from us. And I think it's because we're looking in the wrong places. Have you heard the song, "We're looking for love in all the wrong places"? Well, I think we're looking for peace in all the wrong places. We keep turning to the world to give us peace, to give us comfort, to give us serenity and hope. But it just doesn't work. I try to find peace in my own life by ordering my life, by putting structure to it, by planning my schedule, by carefully crafting to-do lists. But I gotta say, very rarely does that give me the peace that my heart desires. Very rarely do I feel like I've tamed the chaos that is my world. Even though I try time and time again, I have to-do lists all over. I keep them on my phone, so they're always with me and I can always add to them. I keep them on my computer. I have post-it notes that I put on my bedstand and on my bathroom mirror. When something's really important, I put a note in my phone and then I put a post-it on top of my phone to remind me that there's something I need to do. And I try so hard to bring order to my life so that I can experience this peace. But I don't feel like it's working very well. I had a pastor colleague tell me a couple of weeks ago that the list of things a pastor can do in a week is always going to be smaller than the list of things a pastor should do in a week. So week after week, you get a little bit done and your list gets bigger. You get a little bit done and your list gets bigger, and you never can catch up. I don't know if I've ever made it to the end of all of my to-do lists. There's always something more I could be doing before I should put up my feet and take a break. Do you ever feel like you make it to the end of your list, that you've deserved and earned your way to true peace? It doesn't work that way. This world fools us into thinking that if we just get enough done, then we're going to have peace. Or if we just get our lives in order and everything looks good from the outside, then we're going to have peace. Or if we just move up in life a little bit, if we get that degree, if we get that job, if we get that promotion, if our bank account hits a certain amount of money, then we're really secure. Then we have peace. But these things always fail us. Jesus tells us that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That even though we sit down here on earth and try to get things in order, try to make peace, try to be at rest, still in our souls, even when that fails, God can still give us peace. It is only in God that we find the peace that our hearts long for, that we experience the shalom of God, the rest, the quietness, the satisfaction, the joy deep down in our souls. It is only in God that we can find this. Jesus tells us, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus gives us his peace. It's a free gift waiting for us to take it, the peace of God. So we are not to let our hearts be troubled. We are not to be afraid, because God wants to give us his peace. There's something otherworldly about someone who has embraced God's peace. I have had moments of peace in my life, moments of sanity, moments of knowing that things are going to be okay. But I've known men and women of God who have put their entire trust in him and are able to get through the most impossible of situations. My previous pastor, Pastor Ben, was a great man. He had three kids, a wife. He had been at our church for maybe 10 years. He was younger, 45, 50 when this happened, and I was working on staff with him. And for months, he started complaining about an earache. You know, there's just something funny in his ear. And he'd start saying he had headaches, and I get headaches all the time, so I didn't really pay much attention. And then a couple months later, he'd mention again that his ear was bothering him, and he started going to the doctors. And the doctors would do tests, and everything would look fine, so they'd send him home. And a couple of months later, you know, he'd start talking about his ear hurting again, and he'd go to the doctor, and everything would look fine. They'd send him home. And this went on for about a year, maybe a year and a half, until finally it got so bad, and he went to the right doctor, and they did the right test, and they discovered he had a tumor right behind his ear that was giving him pain in his ear and his head. It was inoperable. He was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer right on the spot, and he had to decide what to do about it. And he chose to fight. He had three young kids. He had a good calling. He believed God had more to do for him. And Ben came out of it fine. He went through 6 months, 9 months of treatment, and he's been cancer-free for 4 or 5 years now. But it was amazing going through that process with him, watching his calm, his peace, his trust, and his faith in the midst of something that would have terrified me. I'm sure that he had his moments of fear and of doubt and of worry. As Christians, we all have those. It's not bad. But the underlying feeling for him was one of trust, one of serenity, one of surrender. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. I would imagine that some of you know men and women of faith who embody that peace, that in the midst of great crisis or illness, or even facing death, that they could exhibit such trust in God. That's the kind of peace that Christ has come to bring us. Peace that doesn't make sense in this world's eyes. Peace that only makes sense if you are a child of God and you have received his gift of love. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas season, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can be transformed, that our lives can be changed, that we can live in a different way that doesn't succumb to the pains and pressures of this world, that God's love and hope can fill us, that as the songwriter said, from our fears and sins, release us. That's the kind of peace that we are being offered today. But while it is a free gift, it doesn't come without some effort. We have to make room in our heart to receive this gift. We have to, as the scriptures remind us today, to prepare a way for Jesus to enter into our hearts. God says, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double what she put in." God is calling us back to him, that after years of being away, God's people were called back into his presence, welcome into his courts, called his children once again. But they had to make way for God to do that. Isaiah says, "Prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The valleys shall be raised up and the mountains should be made level. Make a smooth and easy path for God to enter into your heart. As a farmer prepares the soil to receive the seeds, so we must prepare our hearts to receive this gift of peace." We do that in a couple of ways. First, we need to recognize that it's only through God that we receive true peace. We can't keep thinking that if we just do the right thing or say the right thing or move up in the world in the right way that we'll have peace, because these things will always let us down. We need to recognize that only God gives us the peace that we desire, and we must turn to him for it. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, says that God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because there is no such thing. God cannot give us peace apart from himself, because there is no such thing. If we want peace, true, deep, abiding peace, we must go to God to get it, because he is the only one that meets that need in our hearts. Second, we must confess our sins. God tells Israel to repent and to turn away from what they have done wrong. Sin hurts all relationships. Pain and brokenness create barriers between two people. It makes us hard to love and trust one another. It's the same way with God. When we sin, when we do something that hurts God or hurts something else, creates division between us and God. And if we want to fix that, we need to tell God we're sorry. Tell him we're sorry for the things we do wrong and ask him to help us do better next time. Doesn't mean you're always going to get it right. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect or that God expects us to be perfect. But that we ask God to help us do our best. This helps prepare the way for God to enter into our hearts and makes it easier for us to receive God's peace. And lastly, we need to make time to be with God. We need to make time in our lives so we can hear that still, small voice speaking to us. When we're so busy and anxious and worried and hurried that we can't slow down, we run right past God, and we're likely to miss what he has to say to us. Preparing the way to hear God's voice, to receive his peace, means we need to make room in our lives for that relationship to develop. For me, I do that in silence. And those few times where my mind and heart and body line up in peace and in quiet, I hear God there. I hear God in worship as I sing along to music throughout the week, or as we sing our beautiful music here today, I hear God speaking to me. I've heard God speaking to me in times of prayer with our elders and our deacons in this church. And I see God at work in the beauty of this world. But I don't see God if I don't make time for these things to happen. If I don't create a space in my life for God to speak to me, I can't receive his peace. How do you hear God speaking in your life? When's a time where you felt particularly close to him? Was it through service, through fellowship with other Christians, in studying the Bible, in song, in prayer? How does God speak to you? And what do you need to do in order to make more time for that to happen? God is the only place that we're going to find peace in this life. So today, as you're driving home, when you're having lunch, I want you to ask yourself, what's keeping me from having that peace with God? What can I do to help strengthen my relationship with Christ, to prepare the way for the baby Jesus to enter into my life? Is it that I need to believe that God is the only place where this peace will truly be found? Is it that you need to confess a sin and ask God to help you move forward in your life? Or is it that you're too busy and you need to make room in your life for him to come? And then I want you to commit to making one change this week, just one, in order to make more space in your life for God. It's only by surrendering that we can experience this peace. It's only by placing our trust in him that we are truly freed from our sins and fears, and that we will know the love and joy that Christ is offering this Christmas season. I'd like to conclude our time today by listening once again to the words of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, and I'm going to invite you to sing the first verse with me. And as you do, listen to how God is speaking to you today.